message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is made of me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Amen. God is faithful. So, let's see if we can tidy up everything we've been doing. You know, what we are studying this weekend is so powerful. And that is the fact that God has a plan for everyone before we were made. And that's what I want to carry home. Every day you're living your life, one question that should be ringing in your head is, am I aligning myself to prophecy? That's how I'll be closing today possibly. But I want that to remain in your head. There's a plan of God for your life that went ahead, that has come way before you were born. It's actually way beyond you. We saw it from the first day, how that in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, the Lord said to Jeremiah, before I formed you, I knew you. Before I formed you. And I showed you on the first day, you might be saying, well, that's just about Jeremiah. We saw that about Isaiah too, in Isaiah 49, verse 1. Where Isaiah spoke about the fact that, you know, the Lord has chosen him from the womb. He said, listen, O Isle, hearken ye people from far. The Lord has called me from the womb. So, Jeremiah said the Lord had called him from the womb, but the Lord told him. Isaiah said the same thing. We saw that also in the prophecy of the psalmist concerning Jesus, when he said, I've come in the volume of the books written about me. So, from these three characters so far, we are seeing that way before Isaiah was created, God had a plan for him. Jeremiah too, God had a plan for him. Jesus too, God had a plan for him. And so, it can't be about just those three characters. It is how God is. Are you following me? It is how he is. In Psalm 40, okay, no, Psalm 40 is according to the books. In Psalm 139, verse 15, if you read the New Living Translation, get it on the screen because I'm seeing a few new verses here. Psalm 139, verse 15, with New Living Translation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, you watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. Now, see the next verse. He said, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day has passed. So way before you came, every moment. So God has a plan. For instance, 2024. God has a plan way before you were born that he had for you. A place he wanted you to be. A life he wanted you to live. A wife he wants you to marry. Are you following me? The ministry he wants you to run. It is in his plan. And your job will not be to invent what you have to do on earth. Your job will be to discover what God wants you to do and begin to do it. I'll take that again. Your job is not to invent what you have to do on earth. Your job is to discover. Why is it discovery? Because it's already there. So, God is not asking you to choose what you like and begin to do. Because that's what they teach in many purpose classes. Find out what you love doing and begin to do it. No. Your job is not to find out, to choose what you love. Your job is to find out what you think that you should do. And this weekend, if you've paid attention to our teachings, you would have seen how. For instance, I began to show you, for instance, that the first plan God has for every man is salvation. God wants everybody to be saved. The second plan has every man, that every man will do ministry, will serve him. And on Friday morning, I used the board. I took time to show you how God wants you to serve him. How you can serve him. And then we took it a step further by showing that not only does God want you to serve him, he has prepared you for this in so many ways. So if you pay attention to me throughout this weekend, you cannot at this point say, I don't think I can serve God. No. Because even in your natural abilities that you have, God found a way to prepare you for ministry. And that's one very big truth that really came to us in this place if you pay attention. Because all those simple things that you can do, to you is just what I do normally. Now, those things are not ministry. I've given that example. For instance, you can act, or you're a content creator. There is no ministry of content creation. But God can use that content creation in your attempts to fulfill your ministry. For instance, if someone is born and he can talk, that doesn't translate that. That doesn't mean he's a pastor or whatever. That's what it means. But it just means that somewhere, that very talking ability will come in handy. But there are people that are quite very soft at heart. And that's why I just want to say to someone, except it's a bad character, let nobody make you feel bad for being how you are. Except it's really a bad character you have to work on. Don't accommodate any bad rubbish. But the fact that you are too soft, or any small thing you start feeling, you know, any small thing, that thing can come in handy. That's the kind of man Jeremiah was. Very soft-hearted. And God used that. That's why the Bible told us called Jeremiah the weeping prophet. I get the point. Now, that doesn't mean that if I'm not like that, I have a problem. However you are, I'm not talking about bad character now. Don't say I'm hot-tempered. And God will use it. God will not use your hot temper. God will cure your hot temper. Do you understand? Uh-huh. But I'm saying, how you are, God has factored it in the assignment he will give you. I get what I'm saying. He has factored it in. And so one of the things you must do is just to find out, discover what God's plan for your life is, and do ministry. And yesterday, I began to show us that even though God wants all of us to do ministry, there are also specific plans. So I showed you yesterday how you can find God's plan for your life every time. Was it very clear? How you can find what God wants you to do now. It's actually not tough. It's not tough. And it is not by running from prophets to prophets looking for what is not lost. That's not how. And I showed you yesterday, if you actually have that character of running from prophets to prophets, the chances are you'll be misled. You'll be misled. It's an anomaly in our generation. And I say it again and again, I am not talking down on the prophetic ministry. I'm only saying it must be done right. A prophet should not stand in an office and is directing believers on what to do, who to marry, the next step to take, how to talk, how to smile. No. To start with, if I begin to do that as a pastor, not only am I not doing what I'm meant to do, I'm also robbing you of something. That thing is called spiritual growth. Because what if you want to pay attention and I am not there? Are you what I'm talking about? Like you just call me and then you don't get me. Because something, you won't get me all the time. And even if you get me all the time, I may not pick it up all the time. You say, why? Because I'm also a human being like you. I have my own things I'm doing. Don't you think so? So you won't get me all the time. I look at all the people here. Imagine all of you begin to call me and you get me all the time. Before you know, my job will move from pastor to customer care. Because I'll just be taking calls every day, every morning, every day, every morning. So what is the cure for that? Make sure that you are trained. Yes, there is a place for pastoral guidance, pastoral counsel in leading. There is. And I showed that yesterday. But that is not to lead you. That is to help you find God's will. Paul says we are helpers of your joy. See, a pastor is to help you. And not to be your joy. I follow what I'm saying now. It's to help. So you must know how to find God's leading by yourself. Amen. If I got married, you know, before, by the time I prayed about my marriage, my wife had prayed and all that, my spiritual father had never seen my wife. And he didn't need to. He didn't need to say, bring her, let me be sure it's the will of God. He just did his own job. Who is she? This and that. Look at how to find the will. Pray. Put me on that regimen. I ran it 3 to 5 months. I get the point? Confirmed it. When the time came, my spiritual mom said, let her pray too. She prayed 3 months. Now, they've helped us to find what God's will is. They don't have to actually come and say, give me the list of 10 church girls. I get what I'm saying. He said, until I saw this name, Chinecherem, it clicked. That's not how God does it. But you know, in so many places, that's how people are being led. I get it, friend. I don't know about you, but I don't think I can survive there. To start with, if you're going to survive like that, you'll be very slow in life. Because you have to stand on the line until the day you get to see pastor to approve whether you eat or not. And if it takes some time to get to see him, you will starve until you see him. And you know why many pastors do that? In one word, money. Because once you keep the people ignorant, you keep them coming back to you. And once you keep them coming back to you, you can put a price on your counseling fee. Are you following me? Yeah. You can put a price on your counseling fee. All these places called prophet houses, what happens there? People are paying. I heard in some places you pay to see people, and if you want to see the man of God urgently, you pay an urgent fee. So, you see why those places will rather keep you ignorant. Because if they teach you how to find these things by yourself, you won't come again. And money will not flow. Am I against giving to pastors? No, you will give to me this money. That is in our culture. It has been announced. I'm not against giving to pastors. Right? I believe that Bible said if someone has blessed you spiritually, you give us the material. But come on, you can't put a price tag on whatever you want to do for God. You can't do that. If people want to give, let it be their choice. Your job as a pastor is to create the platform for them to obey the word of God. If they respond to it, fine. If they don't, it's okay. But to now create a system where people come to see you, you say, your name is this, da, da, da. You want to marry, or you want to do this. You want to know your destiny, open your palm. I don't want to get to this palm thing. Most of this palm reading thing is diabolic. But let's leave it for now. Keep it somewhere. You know, the thing about it is, I told you some years ago that the pastor must have spine. Yeah, spine. What that means is, anything God puts my heart to say, I'm going to say it. I'm not afraid of anything. You should have known that by now. But the day God leads me to talk about this, I'll address it. They're doing palm reading. You saw Agabus do that. Agabus told Paul, open your palm. Say, the way you're lying, the way they drew the line, it's like you're going to Sokoto. Where do you get that stuff from? There's an inward man inside of you. That's what works. And I'm trusting the Lord that, now, personally, of course, I'm quite prophetic, but I wasn't called into the prophetic office. But I'm trusting God that God will raise many of you, and I'm seeing that already, that will stand mightily in the prophetic. Right? And I will represent what it is. So that when we talk like this, somebody will say, it's because you are not. Amen. That is the genuine way to do things. That's why you must find out how God leads you. That's what I want to take away from this meeting. Find out how God leads. Find out how God directs. Find out what God wants you to do. I say it again. You are not to invent what to do in your life. You are to discover what you should do. It's not invention. You don't come up with ideas. And again, I say, it's not about what you like doing. And on the first, I was given an example. What if I really like to steal? Like, I really love stealing. What if that's what I like? Because you don't realize that what you like is subject to what you've been exposed to. Talk about food. There are some kind of food you don't like. You don't even know if you like them because you've never seen them. You've never eaten them. Do you understand? Are you following me? Uh-huh. People who are not Yoruba here, have you eaten amala before? Do you love amala? Because you've eaten it. Who has not eaten amala before? Who has not seen it? So you don't even know if you like it or not. Some of you don't even want to try. Now, there is an Onsuka food called okay, in Central Igbo, it's called achicha. You know achicha? Amen. Who knows achicha? Okay. Some people have never seen it. You don't even know if you like it or you don't. But if, for real, if you've not eaten achicha, you're really missing something. I personally think that Igbos have one of the most amazing food in their life. The way there are some things, you know, when they teach, when I was primary school, they're teaching us how many classes of food again, 6 classes of food. I'm remembering some things in my head. If you eat that thing, they call it igbangu. Or is it igbangu? What do you guys call it? Igbangu is cool, right? But some people here have, you can never like it because you've never tested it. So if now bring it down to purpose, what people like is what they've been exposed to. So you can't use that to choose what your purpose is. Because for real, what if God wants to do something but you've never seen that thing? So purpose is not about what you like. What if what you like is ungodly? Because you can actually like ungodly things. And that's not your fault because they've exposed you to ungodly things all your life. So you grow up loving ungodly things. Most young boys in this generation, they sincerely, with all their hearts, love Yahoo. With all their hearts. That doesn't make it what God wants you to do. The Bible said, Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more. So Yahoo boy is a thief. Look at why you're a thief. You're a thief because you are prospering through other people's money. Listen, any money you get that will make other people cry, it's not God's plan. God doesn't hate anybody to love you. I know what I'm saying. He can't hate anybody to love you. So you get it and they're crying. And you're happy. And you even think because you came to give money in church, it means that it doesn't mean nothing. And if I find it, I'm going to stop you. Amen? You are getting bigger, so I may not be able to discover you. But if I discover you, I will stop you from giving. And I've done it more than once. You people know. When I started very new here, you know, in Enugu here, this young boy came. First of all, if he wants to give offering, was small, so we used to see people's offering. That was not available then. This guy could just pack 3 or 4,000 naira. Now, it's not big now. We give 4K, 5K now for offering, but that time. Some of my people are still doing 100 naira, 200 naira offering. This guy will pack 4,000 naira, put it in the offering box. And I was just observing. And then after service, he will rush and meet me. Good evening, sir. Good morning. I was so blessed. What a blessing. Sir, please, take. So the first day, he gave it to me. I took it. Yes. I felt, okay, this guy, he knows honor. Next service day, same thing. Next service day, same thing. By the third day, my spirit became very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. So I made up my mind that next Sunday, I'm going to ask this boy a question. So that next Sunday, he didn't come. But immediately we finished, as I was going down the staircase, I saw him. He rushed in. He said, I'm sorry, sir. I traveled. I just came in now. I must have got church. I said, service is over. He said, thank you. I thought I would meet up. But let me see you inside, sir. I said, okay. Went inside again. He brought our money. So I want to celebrate. I said, what did I do this time? So I told him, keep the money on the table. He kept. I said, okay, thank you. I love your heart. But what do you do? He was shocked. I said, what do you do for a living? He said, I said, no, don't relax. I just want to know, you know, I like knowing my members. There's nobody I don't know what they do. So you. I want to know what you do. I'm not able to do that as we grow because, of course, you don't even know who is sending what. That's why you don't blame churches. Churches are collecting money from Yahoo boys. Do they know? Some of them don't know. Because if a church gives to 1,000, 3,000 people, you don't know who is giving what. Literally, if you come to your church and send money, you collect it to the glory of God, will sanctify the money and eat it. But if we know, what do you do? He said, I said, no, brother, calm down. What exactly do you do? He said, he mentioned one company. He said, he works. I said, okay. I brought out my phone and I typed, I said, who are you in the company? Are you the CEO? Because actually, in the past 3 weeks or so, he has been to church. In my mind, he has given over. Sometimes he gives me 20,000, 30,000. That time when life was somehow, he has given close to 200,000. So what do you do? Are you the CEO? Are you the general manager? He said, no, I'm just a worker there. I said, okay, I opened the company. I said, okay, is this it? He said, yes. I said, so you work here? He said, how much are you paid? I wasn't complaining. He just answered me. I said, okay, fine. Thank you for answering. I just wanted to know. He never came back. He never can. I didn't, but my people wanted to go after him. I said, leave him alone. Let him not come. Maybe now I will go after him to help him. But that time, I wasn't ready for anything to corrupt what I was doing. The way I was building a new work, I was very careful. I get what I'm saying? When you're building a new work, when you just have about 20, 30, 40 people around, you be careful what comes in. I'm very serious with some of you pastors. Careful what comes in, because at that point, it can corrupt everything. When everything is still very young. So I didn't let him come back again. Because I didn't do anything wrong. I just said, what do you do? He said, I've asked all of you what you do now. What do you do for a living? It's a sincere question. So it shouldn't scare anybody away. It should actually make you happy that this pastor is interested in my life. But because there's nothing he does. What he didn't know is that if he had come to that church again 3-4 more times, one that would drive to that company. I didn't have a car then, sorry. I'll get to that company. Yeah. I'll come, I'm telling you. We're not big, so because we're not big, I have time. That's the beautiful thing about starting a new work. I have time. I'll just get to the company, came and I said, I'm looking for social person, he's my member. And I can swear he doesn't work there. You know, it was when he stopped going, I found out that, I don't know why I'm telling this, because some people need to be helped, some leaders, ministers here. I found out that actually, he was doing more than giving money to me. People, members would step out of evangelism, he would see them and say, see my church, he would start giving them money. 2,000, 3,000. Sometimes he would buy things for them. Abi, buy and share to everybody. If I didn't cut that off, you know what he was doing? Buying the heart of the members. I got what I'm saying. And this member, it's my members. These are members, their hearts come. I don't know. But I didn't know what was happening. Every day, my people, you buy, take anything you want, take anything, and you will pay. And they will take my day. So what did I do? I stopped him. So what led me to that is Yahweh is a thief. That's what I'm trying to say. That cannot be God's plan for your life. Does God want you to be rich? You don't even know half of how God wants you to be rich. Very wealthy. Why does God want you to be rich? There is gospel to preach. There is gospel. Do you know how much this conference costed? If I give you if you can't even, except you're part of the plan, you can't think it. But if you want to have an idea, after this, just go to that. To start with, go to the manager's office, tell them you want to use this place for a meeting. They'll tell you how much it costs for a day. You'll come back and give. If God has them, come back and give. It costs a lot. And it's people giving and sponsoring this thing. So God wants you to be rich. And you're going to be very rich. But it doesn't have to be through all these things. So find what God wants you to do. You don't have to create what to do. Find what God wants you to do. And when you find it, you align yourself to it. Amen. So I will just give you general instructions this morning. Because I have not actually started teaching. Don't worry, I won't take your time. That's not because I'm not kind. Just because we are rounding up. Amen. You know, on Saturday morning, while driving home, my wife said to me, you didn't even teach us for up to 2 hours again. I said, actually, I did. Did you feel it was up to 2 hours on Saturday morning? That's why I've trained you people pieces. This is 3 hours message, looks like 1 hour. Sometimes I'm doing first service. If I say, let's round up, you're wondering, is Pastor done? And it's so beautiful that you can see like that under God's word. And I want to say to people here, following and listening from everywhere, all over the world, listen, young people are not frivolous. Don't gather young people to do movie night, dance. If it is prayer, they can pray. Timothy was a teenager. Bible story and said he was 19 when he began to pastor. 19. So we'll gather young people and we'll think what will excite them is movie, games. Nothing like games. If you come here, you pray. And you will love the Lord. Don't you love the Lord now? Because what you don't realize is that most of the big churches you talk about today, all of them started as young people. Fire burning for God. But you know how the corruption comes is by the time they now become big, what they now begin to serve the young people becomes games, movie, candy. Will you guys come around? No candy here. Right? We're starting a teenage church very soon. Yeah, a teenage church very soon is in my plan. For that teenage church, they will pray. Aye. Because you know what I found out? Young people, teenagers can actually pray more than older people. I give you, I'm not joking. I met almost all of you as teenagers now, some of you. They can pray. I went to a conference, I think that was one retreat center around Udi. And one woman was there, she was a woman of God. How many of you are in that meeting? How many hours did we pray? Every morning you wake up, you do at least 3 hours. We come 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Some days 10 a.m. Amen. So one lady, one woman of God, though, great woman of God, she for the feet there. She said, I want to see. So she saw me. She said, where did you get these people from? I said, they are my people. She said, Jesus. She said, do you know I went to join them to pray? 1 hour. That she was telling me, I run out of gas. These people are staying there. How long more would they stay? I said, they have 2 more hours to go. They said, Jesus Christ. You know, young people are not frivolous. They are not. Just teach them well. There are some things that a 60-year-old man cannot do now. All the workers in this meeting, how many of you prayed for 6 hours before? Yes, we had 6 hours prayer on Monday. 12 noon to 6 p.m. People carrying plaque, people singing on this stage. You wonder why we sing, everywhere is vibrating. That is why. 6 hours, media team, or technical, 6 hours. 12 to 6 p.m. Not online. Amen. But you know, by the time you give it to like a 70-year-old man, 6 hours, he really wants to. That's why Ecclesiastes said, serve the Lord your God when you are young, in days of your youth. Because the time is going to come, you will really love to, but you know day again. Amen. So, God has been good. Let me say to you, there is a way to stay long. I'm going to encourage you to not allow this to end. Stay long in the plan of God for your life. Stay long and stay forever. Are you getting the point? Are you following me? Yes, stay long. That is longevity in the plan of God. One of the things that will help you stay very long in God's plan for your life, I'll do this in 30 minutes, is that you must learn to follow God's plan patiently. 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 There are many people that do not see the plan of God for their life come to realization because they don't know how to be patient. They don't know how God works. Some people expect that if God tells you, you are going to be, maybe some of you had visions last night. God spoke to you. You saw your future. Many of you expect that when you get back this week now, everything will just begin to happen and you begin to change. No. There is need for patience in following God's plan. There is need for patience. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36, Hebrews 10 verse 36, it talks about how we need patience to walk with God. Give me that verse. Hebrews 10 and verse 36. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So there is need, if you're going to receive the promise that God has made to you, there is need for patience. God can tell you, I am going to make you, let me use money now, a billionaire. It doesn't mean that you're going to wake up tomorrow and become a billionaire. Many people don't eventually get to what God has for them because they are not patient. They've not learned the discipline of waiting patiently. There is patience in following God's will. The things that God has spoken to you about, they may take some time. You know the thing about how God talks? Sometimes when God is making you promises, it looks like it's so real and you feel it's going to happen tomorrow. Does that happen to you? It's so real. You feel like in the next minute things are going to change. Well, you have to be patient. There are a few reasons why it could take time. I may not have time to delve into them today. But listen, the things of God require two things. It requires faith and patience. Hebrews 6 verse 12, he says, we should be followers of those who through faith and patience inherited, obtained the promise. Hebrews 6 verse 12. We followers of them who through faith and patience, said that he be not successful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. So to inherit God's promises, that is it for faith, then you follow faith with patience. Do not be the kind of person that will run away because they told me that God spoke to me that I'm going to change the world. It's been 6 months. I've not changed nothing. Patience. Patience. The things God said to you will take time. When you are patient, you'll be able to deal with fear and the worries that will come. Worries like, what if this doesn't happen? It's taking too long. Calm down. Calm down. God is still working. Stay in the process. As you return, there are things, because Satan is always the god of this game. The god of introducing contrary situations. Talk about money, for instance. God tells you, you know, you are going to be wealthy. Immediately you are getting back home. As you are entering, your landlord that you are owing calls you immediately. So I'm throwing you out tomorrow. Are you following me? Then someone that you are owing like 8 years ago, who you think has forgotten that you are owing him, will just call you from nowhere. Say, Dimoyene, could you know who is speaking? They don't know who is speaking. Who are you owing money in 2000? And you now wonder, I thought God promised that it needs for patience. What the devil is trying to do is that he's trying to show the wrong picture to you. So that you will say, all of this, I just went there to waste my time. Patience. You receive a petition from ministry that is now growth. More men are coming. And you now go home. The first meeting you have. You guys used to be 15. Only 8 will now show up. The devil is trying to play a card. He's trying to deal with your heart. Patience. Patience is the reason why many young boys have gone into crime. And young girls. Because they were not able to be patient to wait for God's promises to them. Patience is the reason, or impatience is the reason why many young pastors have gone to corrupt their hands and soil their hands. Because they were not willing to wait for the things that God has told them will happen. Whenever anybody hits the limelight in Nigeria or in the world, we're going to say, where is this guy? He came from nowhere. Nobody actually comes from nowhere. It is years of patience, consistently building, waiting upon the Lord and waiting for the Lord. That's what we pay off. I get the point. Some of you are meeting me for the first time this year. And so I'm wondering, where has this man been all the while? I have been around. I've been around though. 2026 will make it 20 years of consistently preaching. 2 decades of preaching and ministry. Are you following me? I began active preaching out of 2006. 2022 making 2 decades. Now, not of church, but at least actively preaching. Nobody appears from nowhere. When God speaks to you, when He promises you, follow Him patiently. Don't run. And you know the thing, sometimes the things of God take time. Not because God is slow, but because God is thorough. He wants to do it thoroughly. He doesn't want to rush it. It's not because God is slow. It's not because He's wasting time. But because He's thorough. But that thoroughness or whatever it is what many young people don't want. We expect that once we just go and come back, everything. That's not how God works. You are building what will last. And what will last will take time. But not too long. But be patient. Let me show you an example. There are 2 examples I'm going to show you in the Bible. In 2 Kings 8 verse 7, we read the story of a man called Hazael. You heard of him? Hazael is a very clear example of impatience. Let me give you a background of who the man Hazael is. When Elijah was rounding up his ministry, the Lord told him to go and anoint 3 people. Do you remember? To anoint Elisha to take after him. To anoint Jehu to be king over Israel. And anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. The plan of God was to rid the land of Baal worship that was introduced by Ahab and Jezebel. Are you following me? Eventually, Elijah didn't do that. Elijah anointed only Elisha and left. So Elisha was the one that picked up the job and went to anoint Jehu. And this is Hazael's story. Elisha came to Damascus and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was sick. And he was told him, saying, the man of God is come hither. Go ahead. And the king said to Hazael, take a present. So Hazael was someone working in the king's palace. You see why I told you this? At this time, he has not known about the prophecy. I told you that there are many natural things that have happened in your life that God is secretly using to prepare you for where you are going to. How come Hazael was working in the king's palace? There was already a prophecy over, he said that he will be king one day. So God had to strategically position him there to learn how to be king. Are you following me this morning? That's why don't waste your experiences. I'm saying it again. Don't waste your experiences. Many things that you went through and they were just natural, God is setting you up for where he's taking you to. You may not know it. How come when, you know, when he was said that David was going to be king, David did not tell that to anybody. They just kept to themselves. Then suddenly, Saul needed someone to play flute, play instruments for him. Guess who they picked to come work in the palace? David. Coincidence, you might say. No, it's not. God put him there to learn how the palace works. And I want to tell somebody, God is preparing you. Are you following me this morning? God is preparing you. You might not know. The natural things that apply to your life, all the things that are happening and going wrong and right in your life, God is setting you up. Do not waste your experiences. Learn from them. So, look at this. The king said, take a present in thy hand and go meet the man of God and inquire of the Lord by him, saying, shall I recover of this disease? So Hazael went to meet him and took a present with him, even of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camels burden, and came and stood before him and said, thy son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, has sent me to thee, saying, shall I recover of this disease? And Elisha said unto him, go and say to him, thou mayest certainly recover. Howbeit, the Lord has shown me that he shall surely die. So Elisha said, I can't tell him he will be fine, but he will die. And he said to his countenance, and said, personally, until he was ashamed, and the man of God wept. So the man of God just started looking at him and said, I cry. Watch this. Next verse. The man of God started weeping. Come on, come on, come on. Next verse. And Hazael said, why weepest, my Lord? You see, my Lord, and Ananda, there are people that appear humble just because they've not blew. And he answered, because I know the evil that thou will do unto the children of Israel. Their strongholds will thou set on fire. Their young men will thou slay with the sword, and will dash their children and rip up their women with child. So you'll be wicked to them. Hazael said, but what is thy servant, a dog, that he should do this great thing? And Elisha answered, the Lord has showed me that thou shalt be king over Syria. It's not just Elisha that the Lord showed. The Lord showed Elijah. So this is a prophet that has been on Hazael's head for a very long time. He just found out. Now see what he did. So he departed from Elisha and came to his master, who said to him, what has Elisha said to thee? He answered, he told me that thou should surely recover. Now, and it came to pass on the morrow that he took a thick cloth and dipped it in water and spread it on his face so that he died. So he didn't even wait. He went that night, dipped cloth in water, killed him, and became king. Jehovah Shab Shab. And someone might say, well, at the end of the day, he became king. That's what God said. No. He jumped the process. He became king, but he didn't fulfill God's plan for his life. He failed as a king. He failed as a king. With God, every way is not the way. There is an ordained process for your life. You find it and you follow it. Very impatient man. God said I will be king, right? Well, the important thing is that I will get to the throne eventually. How I get there is not important, but I'm going to get there. Kill the man. And the kid was clean. Nobody could suspect. He was Hazael. He was very close, personal assistant to the king. So, who will start the investigation? It should be him. Killed him. No traces. After all, the man has been sick all the while. He was eventually going to die. So why don't I just kill him? Do you know, Elijah said, the king will eventually die. And this guy was already very sick. It would have taken like, at most, 6 months. So Hazael, he couldn't wait for 6 months. But you've been waiting all your life. Where you didn't know you'll be king. Be patient. Where God is taking you is very far. Don't begin to compromise and mess things up. Because impatience will breed compromise. Impatience will always breed compromise. That is the right way to do things. God has spoken to you, and I tell you under God, He's going to fulfill what He said to you. He will. But it is demanded of you that you stay patient. I have a teaching that you should actually refer to. I have a teaching on faith and patience. You remember that teaching? That's going to be patient. While you are patient, you are serving, you're growing. There are things you will not understand. You go to the Lord in prayer. You pray. Be patient. What God wants to do is not just to make you a big person. He also wants you to enjoy the process. Because by the time you enjoy the process and learn well through the process, you'll be able to take other people along on that journey. I gave this example on Friday. I had my tough days. If I had jumped out and compromised, now that some of you are having tough days, I won't be able to lead you through that journey. I get what I'm saying? But if you go through the process, you've not just found out how to win. So you've not just won, you found out how to win. And then, remember that 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3? That the God of all comfort comforts us so that we may be able to comfort others. So that's where you also be able to be a help to others. Is someone following me this morning? Go through the process. Patience. Don't be a hassle. Don't be. Compare this guy now with David. He spoke to David. Saul told David that he was going to be king. I'll be Samuel rather. Told him he was going to be king. Anointed him as king. Do you know the point? When David killed Goliath, they said he was between the age of 15 and 17. And he was anointed to be king way before the Goliath story happened. So he was possibly 14 or 13 when they anointed him as king. Are you following me? And wait, give me 1 Samuel 17:33. Let me show you this. 1 Samuel 17, he was a young guy. He was a youth. When he killed Goliath. He was a young guy. Saul says to David, thou art not able to go up against the Philistine, for thou art but a youth. In Amplified Classic, I want to show you how young he was actually. You are your servant, verse 33, come on. Why did you move? He says to David, you are not able to go fight against the Philistine. You are only an adolescent. So what age is adolescence? Where does adolescence stop? No, for I don't know. I'm asking. Don't think I know. I'm just saying. Is 15 an adolescent? Huh? I think 17, 18, 19. That's where it stopped. 18. Okay. Whatever you say. But you're seeing the age grade. Now, this is when he killed Goliath. But this prophecy that he was going to be king came before he killed Goliath. So let's assume he got that prophecy at 15. David later became king at 30. 2 Samuel tells us, chapter 5, verse 4. 2 Samuel 5, verse 4. He became king at 30. So it took at least 15 years from when he received the prophecy to when he became king. He was 30 years old. And look at how much he reigned for 40 years. Successful king. Because look at the plan of God for David was achieved. Book of Acts tells us David served his generation. So you see, not only was David king, years later, his generation continued. It was even from him that Jesus eventually came. Talk about the man that fulfilled the plan of God for his life. His name was David. What was it? Patience. 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 Do you know that there were times when David came into a cave where Saul was sleeping. He could have killed him. As Saul wanted to kill him, it would have been revenge. It would have been self-defense. I said, I can't do that. Whatever God cannot give me, I don't need it. I don't. That's the heart issue. If God said it, I'll follow his process. Hallelujah. The days we are seeing in this church now, I didn't see them last year. I didn't see it in the Spirit. I saw it in the Spirit many years ago. Are you aware that when God spoke to me about this church, one of those visions I had in 2012, before we ever started, I even had a vision. I've had a vision of the first building we are going to build. I know how it's going to be. Now that was 2012. Till now it has not manifested. Now, am I not supposed to start writing a big fund letter? God told us to build house to come and support us. That's not the way. Grow through the process. You know how it works. I've taught it many times. Any process you grow through, if you grow, you can't shorten. If you swell, you can lessen. And that's how it is in faith. Anything we've conquered by faith, we don't ever go beyond that level. For instance, the capacity to do it this way this year, it can never be lower than this. Never. Because we didn't jump to this place. We didn't go borrow you. There are ministries that want to do. You know, there are many things that happen in ministry, if you don't know. Most of these meetings, December is coming, Abi. You begin to see many big meetings. This one is coming. 30 guest speakers are coming. Some of those meetings, loans we are taking. Churches go to take. I'm not against churches taking loan, if that's what you want to do. Right? There are many things. But churches take loans to run program. Take loans. So I go to the bank and take a loan of 100 million to invite 30 musicians so that we can do a city-wide conference that they will know that we are the Baba. And you think bank will not give you, they will give you. If they are church, they will give you. Once they know you have landed property or they will give you. It's not even taking loan to pay rent, to taking loan to host meetings. If that's what God told them today, it's okay, but God can never tell me to do that. Because it's about growth. If you take loan today, hope the program will hold next year. You will take another loan next year. So, offering and partnership is coming into church. We are using it to repay loans that we took to host some people to do one night of worship and praise. I don't know. I'm not Christian. It doesn't just make sense to me. I'm just telling you. And why are you saying it here? Because I want it not to make sense to you. That if God ever calls you to lead a walk, you don't become stupid. Calm down and grow. I've learned contentment too. You see, wherever we are as a church, I'm very happy. And I own it with pride. You know that's me now. We've done the way 2016. How long have you attended the way 2016? It was in a bush. We put bacha, put zinc on top of it. And did this conference now held there. And we snap picture and put it on Facebook. God is working among us. And I've never felt ashamed of you. If you have five, I'm not ashamed. You are my member. I don't have to do anything. Any day you see us invite anybody here, guest singer, guest minister, just know that God told us. Not because I want to use it to pack crowd. I don't need anybody to pack crowd for me. Don't need that. Because invitation of ministers is by the Spirit. It's because they want to add something to the church. Not because they want to bring people. And those people are not even your members, and they will not be. Not that there are people who exist to go to every. If you watch videos of every worship program that hosts in town, there are people that attend all of them. You just roam. Satanic ministry. From place to place. Be patient, man of God. What our worship team cannot do today, they can do tomorrow. How they are singing today is not how they were singing last year and last 2 years. Are we not getting better? We're just growing gradually. I don't have to go and import people to come and to start with. Sometimes when you have a habit of bringing people to come and sing and then you pay them heavily, it becomes a habit. So what about the people that have been singing for you every Sunday, every Thursday? How much do you pay them? Because they never blow. So you know what is going to happen? All of them start fighting to blow. Because they know that once they blow, you start respecting them. So what have you brought into the church? Corruption. Because we want to pack down stadiums. I want the old days. When Taylor's one packed down stadium because people are coming to see God. Pastor Kumu, you pack down stadiums because people are coming to hear God's word. Is someone following me this morning? Yes. Don't look at them. Everywhere shut down. Right? Bunky will come. Haven't any bunky meeting. You get there, you see. At the time, they were not using stadiums again. When he came to Soka, they found a very thick bush and cleared everywhere so that people can stay. And people are coming to receive salvation. Those days are here. But it takes time. That they are bunky now, it took time. It took time. He did miss in Lesotho for years. He almost died in Lesotho, actually. It was tough. From one challenge to another. Whole meetings of 70. He said the first day they came to stadium, God told them to go and use stadium. That's why it's like divine leading. God said, go and use stadium. No guest artist, nothing. They went there. Said he climbed the stage. As they were singing and praying, he counted the audience. There were 100. He said he counted again. He said he counted until like a voice told him, if you count this thing 700 times, there will still be 100. Imagine a big stadium, lights everywhere, 100 people. But God said this time. That night, as he was praying, a blind woman saw. Another blind person saw. By the next of the meeting, everywhere packed out. It was fine. Patience. Take it to your business. Patience. The Lord has told you your business is going to go global. Take it from me. It will go global. Just patience. Follow God part time. Are you following me? And if you are patiently going to do the work, later you'll be able to sit down and encourage others. And your story will be a blessing to them. Because you didn't cut corners. Patience. So that's the first thing. To stay long in God's plan, you need patience. Everything he has told you will happen. I don't know why it's delaying. Or maybe I know. But I don't have time to talk about it today. Maybe I even the reason why it's delaying. Maybe there are things. You know, let me teach you this. Every time it looks like what God has told you is delaying, before you start complaining, look inwards. Are there instructions I'm ignoring? If you check and pray and you observe that you are following every instruction to the letter, calm down. You are in the right place. I mean, as a pastor, you have checked, you are following everything, you are following everything to the letter, what I meant to do. No, whatever is happening at that time is what God wants to be. You are praying. God said you should pray. You went to pray. God said you should fast. You went to fast. You fasted. You prayed. You are doing everything you're supposed to do. Calm down. Now, if there is any cause for alarm, God will point it out to you. He will. You stay calm. No cause for alarm. I've learned the discipline of patience in life. Patience in ministry. And I think I'm one of the best people that can teach you that. I've had the opportunity to train people. My first set of people that I worked with, we are people in just 2, just 3, just 1. Some of them are here. Now, when we are doing seeds, now if I want to sow seed, I say, you know, some of you are going to give 10 million. That time, I want to sow seed, I say, stretch your faith and give 10,000. That was the highest stretch. And the person said it will fall down. It's not like 10,000 once. They will pledge 10,000 in January to give it in July. Every month, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1. Sometimes 700. And they don't even finish it. And I've seen those days. And whatever money we gather then, we will do program at that level. Amen. So that when you come here one day and somebody says, I gave 1 billion. Don't say, Pastor, I'm eating money. We've never started eating money. Because I saw the days of 1,000. So if I see the days of 1 billion, I did not do anything wrong. I didn't. When you come here for once away and there are 10 buses parked outside, all written Exalted Platform Church, and there's one person that donated it. Don't say, there's money in this church business. There is money. Again, start. You will not even have the patience to last for 6 months. You just come. Some days, we've had the days of coming to church on a Sunday. I've traveled from my village because December, we go to the village. But my people here can tell you, every December, service day, I will travel back. Sometimes I'm traveling back and I'm not sure anybody's going to come to church. I'll just travel back, spend the money, come, open the church and stand there. There's a day I came, nobody came. I sang, glory to God, hallelujah. Finished everything, came back. They asked me how was service. I said, fine. Was it not fine? Why you? I was blessed. Everyone that came was blessed. Is that not true? Everybody that came, anybody that was not blessed, did not come. If you came, you are blessed. And not once did I go to God and say, what did I do to you? It's patience. I know what he has shown to me. I will follow him every step on the way. Amen. So, patience. Number two, I won't stay long on this because my wife addressed this yesterday. Build a solid prayer life. Because this patience thing I'm shouting is not easy. It's not easy. Build a solid prayer life. That's what will give you strength in the journey. Because sometimes to be patient itself is hard. To calm down when everything is falling apart is tough. It's good as I'm teaching it now, but it's very tough. When nothing is working. So what is the secret? Prayer. Jesus was going to go to the cross. It was God's plan for his life. He knew it, but he got tired. He got to the seven and started crying. If Jesus could cry, you will cry too. What was the way out? He prayed. Luke 22, verse 43. He prayed. What was his prayer? Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass over me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. So, now, I say this all the time when I read this verse. He wasn't saying, is it your will for me to die? He knew it was God's will for him to die. He's just saying, I want to align to it. It is hard. So, what happened in verse 43? An angel appeared and strengthened him. Strength in the journey when it gets tough is in the place of prayer. So, have a solid, consistent prayer life. I need to share this story. I would have quit this church. I'm not kidding not. I'd have quit. Because one day the thing came on me. Church wasn't working. My life wasn't working. And if one is working, you go to my whole belly. Nothing. So I came to church on Sunday. I saw 4 people. As usual. And I preached powerfully. But what they didn't know is that I was not sure that I was coming back next week. I wasn't sure. I said, we're going to meet on Tuesday. There was Tuesday service. That diamond castle Tuesday service is now next Sunday. So on Sunday, I'm going to see you. We're going to have a good time. And I was not sure. But I knew how to do it. I went from that. I didn't go home straight to a retreat ground. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, everything opened up. What opened up? Strength. What did God do? He reminded me of all those things he has said. And that reminder means I have not forgotten. And someone needs to hear, God has not forgotten what he said to you. I have not forgotten. And if God has not forgotten, then I'm going to keep holding on. I finished there, came back, renewed vigor, renewed strength, and we started going again. And see where we are today. We're not even where we're meant to be. Man, I got small. Is it working? Yes, Small, small. I get the point. And you know the way it works? We might be taking one step, two steps. It is called arithmetic progression. We will keep moving. There's a time we will hit, it will turn to geometric progression. That's how it works. Maybe just adding, I'm taking to pastors. Maybe adding even your business. Today, 1,000, tomorrow again, increase to 2,000. Continue. That's the point to get to hit 1 million. The next hit is 5. The next hit is 30. That's how it goes. That's how it goes. And then I say, hey, where have you been? Don't ever, let me warn all of you. Let nobody ever ask me that question when the time comes. Because I've been here. I've been everywhere. I'll do people, but you will not see it. Don't worry. I sponsor ad, you skip it. Then one day you say, hey, I wish I met you before I met my mother. Mind yourself. God is working on us. So when it gets tiring, stay in prayer. So I just went for that retreat. I pray through. I will pray. I will listen to God's word. I will pray. By the time I was coming out on Wednesday, and I was fasting. Not throughout. I fasted Sunday to Monday evening, just dry like that. Around Sunday to Monday evening, I ate by six or seven, started fasting again. And you know, I'm giving all this. This is my church. So you need to know. If you know, you know how to do. And I don't want to deceive you. I didn't fast from Sunday to Wednesday. I have fasted for 4 days straight, but this particular one I did not. Amen? So I'm just telling you. Finished Monday evening, started fasting again from then till Wednesday morning. I followed him. And it was such a refreshing time. When I came out, I knew that we were ready to take over the world. That was the last time I ever felt that way. Right? It's been years now. I felt that way. Jesus felt it too. Elijah felt, instead of going to pray, he said, Father, take my life. I'm not better than my father's. That's not what to do. When you get to that point where you are tiring, patience is hard, go to prayer. You will win. Third instruction, iron sharpens iron. And mom addressed that yesterday. Please have the right relationship. That's how to stay long in the will of God. The right company will keep you long in the will of God. There are people that in your life you cannot easily give up. Two things. Be that kind of person that when you are in people's life, they cannot give up. Number two, have friends in your life that when they're in your life, you won't give up. Have the right company. Marry the right husband. Marry the right wife. Have a good pastor. Have a good mentor. Have people that will hold your hands. When things are going down, hold it, don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. I get the point. Everything is going to be fine. Do not have people around you who will aid your compromise. Don't have people around you who will aid your compromise, who will discourage you. I talk to my friends in ministry from time to time. Every time we talk, you know, I'm just seeing what they're doing, the next thing they're planning, the next move they're making, and we're encouraged. Don't be with friends that will incite competition in your heart. You look at them and you wonder, we have to compete. That's what I'm saying. People that will encourage you. People that will keep you, but people that can ask you, hey, have you noticed the way you've been behaving? I'm coming to your house this night. We are going to pray this night. I say, don't come. I don't want to say don't, which is don't come. 7 p.m. person has knocked on your door. But there are friends like that. They own your house more than you. If I knock again, I'll pull down this door. You usually open the door. Oh yeah. Shakaka barabara badalabara. Oh yeah. Let's pray. Bless be God for such friendships, I'm telling you. He said, I don't have the strength for this prayer thing. Magora. Shimbra de Kotorodo. Shokokoba lakata. Zakarabatala. Rogo. Oh, Shandrodo Kokoba. I lost those friendships. They drag you around. Oh yeah, pray. He said, when are we ending? He said, it's 6 hours. Yes. Oh, glory to God. Just come to church and they did not see you. Two Sundays, they just come to ask after Sunday. I'm Nisha Drug. Why are we not in church today? Let me tell you, friendship sometimes can be what keeps us going. I'm telling you. Iron sharpeneth iron. Forever. Sharpens iron. Blessed be God for good friends. Let me tell you, do not be, if God blesses you with good friends, good mentors, good company, do not be in a hurry to tell everybody to get out. Because one day, the person you told to get out today, you might need him tomorrow. And let me tell you, we are men of love. But a relationship you do not service, don't expect too much from it. I'm telling you. Don't expect too much from a relationship you are not servicing. Just like how people can shut doors on their pastor. On their pastors. It's okay. I pray you will never need your pastor. Because the day you do, don't start complaining. Don't start complaining. Don't start complaining. It's bad how people expect what they can't give. Even God said, I honor those who honor me. And as a pastor, I love everybody, but I'm loyal to people who are loyal to me. You know how I do my ministry. I don't have eye for anybody's flock. I don't even have any advice for anybody's flock. My ear shuts down whenever someone's flock is talking to me. So I mind my people. People that mind me, I mind them. That is me. I'm telling people. If you don't mind me, I don't mind you. And it's not, we are not fighting. Did I not show you that in the Bible? 1 Samuel 2 verse 30. God said, I swear that your generation will stand before me forever as priests. But now I say, be it far from me. For I will honor those who honor me. Them that honor will I honor. Them that esteem shall I lightly esteem. I like how he just put it. He said, if you despise him, he will not despise you, but he will esteem you lightly. So I will not despise you, but esteem you like that's actually how people behave. Is that that's what Bible was teaching in Luke 6 when he said, give, it shall be given unto you. It's not really about money alone. Good measure pressed out, as you do to men, they will do to you. So you, whenever you are in your bad mood, you throw all of us away, you stop talking to us, you say, now you want us to always show up for you. That's why when you are down, there's nobody to lift you up. Because you want to shut everybody out. Be that friend that whenever you go down, there are about 10 people running towards you. You know, there are people that if you're not being serious, you are wondering why. You are going after them. There are some that if they stop being serious, they say, eh? My ministers can tell you, sometimes they say this person left church. Sometimes they say, has he ever been around? Have friends that can strengthen you. You see, the way we are seated here, after this meeting, have good friends. I'm not saying everybody here is perfect. But at least by the time you meet 3-4 people, you begin to see people that have life values with you. Friendship can help you. Some people are sick and they die sick because they have bad friends. You know, there are friends that when you fall sick, they will stand with you in faith. Until you get well, they will stand with you. They will not let this happen. Which one is your kidney failing? Which kidney? Pastor said, God has spare parts. We are going to collect your spare parts. They stay with you today. You guys will continue 1 year. They're still there. Until one day the healing comes. But the lady that testified about pile, I don't know who the person, maybe the little guy, he said, I want to thank God for the saints who stood with me in prayer throughout this. And I love that part of that testimony. When you have pile, or if you have pile, do you have people that will stand with you? That will say to God, Father, pile will not kill this one. Not for real. There are friendships that when you form them, you know, recently, this man of God, I think it was Jerusalem that died. Jerusalem died. And you know, I saw all the telescope land was there. Jezebel's son and daughter posted. Came to them and said, I want to thank our second daddy. They were so close. Copeland and Savile. Savile was serving Kenneth Copeland, but they eventually became friends. The family, the wife, they see Copeland as their second daddy. That relationship has run down to their children, to their grandchildren. So throughout the process, Copeland was there. Do you have such people? That's what keeps us burning. There are some of you here, by the virtue of friendship you've built, you can't even leave church again. They will come after you. And that's why sometimes when God plants you in a family, now this is not to say you cannot leave this church, I'm just telling you, sometimes when God plants you in a family, sometimes stepping out of that family is taking your life 10 steps backwards. Because you will start losing, when you leave that church, in offense. I'm not talking about you leave because you got married or something. It's a different matter. You understand? But when you step out in offense, it takes your life because offense will make you want to disconnect from everybody. So all the doctor friends you have, you've lost them. All the whatever friends, now you are going to start building new friends and thus the devil, snakes are coming your way. Snakes are coming your way. Because they are trying to gather everybody. Say, I need a new friend. You know where they find friend, they see friend. And that's your friend, that your friendship happens. You don't look for friends, I'm looking for friendship. You will meet terrible people. I hope you have come down, you know what I'm saying. You think you are connected with this person, you don't know. Because the friend you want to find has another friend somewhere. So you will not become an option. Because the devil spoke to you and you heard him. Let iron sharpen iron. I've said it many times. My mom said it when she was preaching. Almost all the men of God who are moving the world today, if you check their story, they know themselves. I mean, you find out that Pastor Adeboye at a time was friends with this one. At the time was friends with Jean-Paul Loki. Growing up, they knew themselves. In one way or the other, they had a connection. So, I can almost tell you that I can predict where your future is going to be with the kind of friends you are keeping now. And how you have frivolous with friendships. You want to protect your fire? Right company. Right company. Because all you need in your life to mess up your life is one crazy Ahithophel. You know that's what destroyed Absalom. He carried out Q. Moved everybody. Even turned. Ahithophel was a very, very wise man. But then, he was talking with David. He left David and joined Absalom. And David knows that if Ahithophel is in this guy's life, Ahithophel is a very wise man. If he gives him counsel, this kingdom is gone from me. So David prayed a simple prayer. Father, turn the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness. And he began to give stupid counsels. He told Absalom, gather all your father's wives, sleep with them in the open. How can that even be a wise counsel for someone that wants to take over? I think you're trying to get people to love you and to accept you. Is that not what you should be doing when you want to do you? He said, wisdom. Sometimes one counsel can mess your life up. But God will keep you safe. And the secret is, God will always speak to you through known voices. He wouldn't speak all the time through strange voices. So have known voices. I'll give you some example of voices that will carry to reach you. Your pastor. Your mentors. Your spouse. That's why if you are married here, don't shut down the voice of your spouse. That is one major way God can reach you. That is one major way. And if I am telling you this, you better take it. Why am I saying, I'm marrying someone that is a daughter to me. So, naturally, because she's a daughter to me, I should shut her up now. She's not to me, I'm my spiritual daughter. How dare you advise me on what to do? You know what I've done? You shut down one channel through which God can reach you, totally. And that channel, if that channel is open, you will not make many mistakes. Why? That one is the closest to you. As a pastor, I see you in church. Friends see you to an extent. Your wife or your husband sees you in the bedroom and every other place. They know you. Your pastor may not know that you don't flush toilets. But that woman knows. So that will now protect your fire. That tomorrow you now wake up and say, ah, you know, baby, this ministry thing. Submission, submission, submission to pastor, submission to pastor. I'm not doing it again. Let's start our own. But God give you a spouse that will tell you, if you go, I'm not going with you. And may He give you ears that will listen. That will tell you, babe, I wish that now, let's pray now. Who do you wait upon the Lord? At least, let's pray for 3 months. May you listen. May you not marry also someone that has the voice of the devil. That when you say, let us say, I'll be waiting for you to say this thing. Because me too, I want to be mama. And papa fits you. So let's go and talk. A both of you will go there, papa, mama, the children and the members. Hallelujah. That's why I encourage husbands here and wives, keep your spouse growing. If you are going to conference, drag your spouse. If you are going to retreat, sometimes drag your spouse. If you are going to go and pray, sometimes, not if you have a prayer life, but sometimes drag her or him. Because if you are going up and he's going down, both of you are going down. He give you stupid advice. Ahithophel. Say, they rebuked your department. They corrected you. Yes. And you're very angry. If you have a good spouse, say, I'm just, why they call me like that? I say, ah, babe, but now, just try and readjust. Do things, but just calm down. That's a good spouse. Another one will say, me, I was waiting for you to talk. Because you dare not talk to my guy like that. Inside church. One of you will now come. It has actually happened. Pastor has been in his office saying, now, this couple stormed in. We want you to know that. We want you to know that. And the problem is, one of them literally grew up in that house. Grew up and married from the house. They can say, we want you to know that we stand together. You cannot. And they stormed out. And when my pastor went to meet his wife, just knelt down, held their hands together, knelt down, and prayed. I commanded them to God, so God should do them well. Bye bye. Have right companies, though, even if they want to leave the church. Was that the way? A man hurts you. A man that fed you for more than. Have you ever fed anybody in your life? Not even spiritually. Have you ever fed anybody? Leon who like feed the person for 5 years. Have the right people around you. Some of you that are going to travel and relocate, do not lose your friends because you relocated. Don't do that. I get the point. Don't do that. Your friendship should not be defined by geography. So once you relocate, my closest friends in ministry, you know them. They're not in Enugu here. But we are friends. We talk. And if God has not brought us friends to your life, trust Him. From this meeting, there are friendships that will develop and protect them. Are you following me, friends? The final thing I'm going to say to you before we go today, stay long in God's plan for your life. Please, at every step on the way, always confirm with God, is this the way? Let me show you how God leads. God will first, how He works is, He points out, I'm taking you to Abuja. But what He will not do is to tell you, Listen, how to go to Abuja. When you get to Lokoja, take right. When you go right, small talk. He doesn't talk like that. He just tells where he's taking you to. Then, you know the idea of Google Map? Use your map before. Now, Google Map, will now, that's how it is. As we are moving, at this junction, turn left. You turn. Next junction, that's how God leads. That's where you are going to, but he wants to lead you every step on the way. So do not say, well, I know where God is going to take me to, and I'll just start running. No. God will tell you, I'm going to take you to the nations. Quite all right. But nations is a big word. Where are you going to go first? Where will you start from? What do you do next? At every step on the way. Numbers 9:17 told us how the Israelites navigated the wilderness. Numbers 9:17. Give me on the screen. I think that should be the last scripture. When the cloud was taken off from tabernacle. Please, go to verse 16. I need NLT. NLT. So this was the regular pattern. At night, the cloud that covered tabernacle had the appearance of fire. See verse 17. Whenever the cloud lifted from over the sacred tent, people of Israel would break camp and follow it. Whenever the cloud settled, Israel will set up camp. That's how to follow God. When he says stop, because he will lead you through steps and stops. So at every point, find out what's next, sir. That's how I do ministry. What is next for us as a ministry? Now, after this conference now, the whole of December, we'll be praying a lot. What am I praying? What is next? What is next? What do we do? What's the theme for next year, Lord? What do we focus on? Do we go planting new churches? Do we focus on this every step on the way? Even your business, that's how to do it. That's why don't remove prayer from your natural affairs. When it looks like that, things are not working, go back to prayer. Father, what do I do next? He might tell you, oh, go meet this brother, go meet this one, expand your business. He can even tell you, keep doing what you are doing. At every step on the way. Follow God one step at a time. Do not even desire that he will point out the direction. Say, if you go to this junction, take right. When you get to the other place, take left. Then you see a roundabout. You turn round. Then you take. That's how some of us want God to lead us. That he will give you everything. You write it, then you start going. You don't need him again. He wants you to walk with you. He wants to walk with you on the journey. Just like you have your map. He wants. Now we've stopped here. Park. Rest. Oh yeah, pick up tomorrow. Go left. Go right. That's how he wants to lead you. And what a blessing that he leads us like that. Because it means he's actually with us on the journey. Are you following me, friends? From now as you live, at every point, God will be telling you things. When it's tough, talk to him. He has said he would see you through school. And now, exam is coming, you've not paid your fees. Don't start complaining. Ask him, Father, what next? He might ask you, pray. He might ask you, talk to this person. He might ask you, stay calm. Every step on the way, he will lead you. Are you following me? That's actually how he leads. He can tell you to go to the US today. He can come up after 8 years and say, it's time to leave. Return home. And that is not retrogression. There are people that went to the US, became millionaires, came back to Nigeria, became billionaires. I kid you not. That's not retrogression. A great man of God in this country, you know, that one wasn't the will of God anyway. He traveled to the US to go and do business. He went there, you know, he said driving Uber, cab. I was doing that, and somewhere along the line, the driver on the Lord said to him, go back. Go back. Go back. He said, ah, why? Go back. Can't start a work for me. That's a very massive church. Doing well. And I tell you this story about Archbishop Percy that was there. I tell you story all the time. You know, there was a time things were not as good as they were. But that Archbishop had a spiritual father who was C.L. Osborne. So one of those days, C.L. Osborne called them. Him and the wife. They came to the US and he told them, we're going to show you people three houses. Anyone you like, pick. Once you pick, you take. So they went to the first one. He said, this is it. They went to the second one. If you hear this story from him, how he described it. The last one they went to, there were how many swimming pools? I mean, mansion, literally. And then he got there and said, this is it. My wife, I said, congrats. Take the key. It's now yours. So it meant they were going to relocate their ministry and everything to the U.S. Imagine if that had happened. That had happened. See, that night, they were sleeping. Tell and the wife were in their own room. In a room in the house. Then they were in the room. He said, somewhere in the middle of the night. He said, the only way he could describe it is that he felt like if he stayed here till morning, that God would kill him. I thought about inward witness, right? That red light. Do you remember? So he woke his wife up. I said, God is going to kill me if I stay here till morning. And wife said, just calm down. He wasn't getting. He ran to Dr. Taylor's hospital, knocked on the door, and said, Papa, God is going to kill me. And the wife said, well, maybe it's just the excitement of the whole thing. He said, it's not excitement. I feel like God is going to kill me. And Dr. T.L. said, if you've seen everything we've shown you here, and you still feel there's a leading to go back to Nigeria, then it must be God leading you. Go. The wife was still waiting. I told the wife, no, babe, later you come back. I feel like if 6 o'clock hits, I'm going to die. You know that feeling? Has this ever happened to you? Don't you feel like you're going to die? He said, 4 a.m., he left the hotel. He left the house and ran to the airport. He got there around 6 a.m. or so. I said, he called them. Are people still alive? He said, he literally thought he was going to die. And after they returned back to Nigeria, a few years down the line, that house, he said, it's not even up to one of their guest houses. You know, Ajibola was rich. Now, Ajibola was very rich, you know. Ajibola was very rich. Ajibola was the person God used to set the standard for wealth for the Nigerian church, for the African church. The man had money. Sometimes the thing the devil is showing you, that the devil is, God is trying to tell you, just leave it. You think that's the biggest, but God has more plans. When he says, go home, go home. When he says, turn right, turn right. When he says, it's time to slow down, slow down. Slow down. At every step on the way, look for that glory cloud. When it lifts, move. When it settles, stop. It's all following me this morning. When it lifts, move. When it settles, stop. Follow that cloud. You say, where is the cloud, sir? That cloud is your spirit, man. Follow it. Follow it. Follow it. Yeah, play it. He has promised he will never fail. Stand your feet. You know that song. Sing it to yourself. Say he has promised. I will follow. Sing. I will.
I will follow him.
He has promised. He's
faithful.
It's forevermore.
It's forevermore.
He's faithful. Come on, we're going to do it again till it enters you. Say he has promised. He has
promised. He will never fail.
I will follow.
He has promised.
Hey, he's faithful. Aya,
he's forever.
Hey,
he's faithful.
Can someone sing it one more time? Say he has promised.
He has promised. He will never fail.
I will follow.
There's
a revelation of God's faithfulness in this service this morning.
Hey, he's faithful.
One last time, lift your hands. Oh, he has promised.
He has promised. He will never fail.
I will follow.
He has promised.
Agame sogi deya, sogi deya, eh. Obwe ni mo. Agame sogi deya, sogi de Jesus. Rembi jem kago se.
Agame sogi deya, sogi deya.
Agame Soroya. Agame Soroya. Aya balanda rabade. Kumere de bele de beya. We will follow him. It's a morning of commitment. Just pray simple prayers to God this morning. I'll walk with you. Just pray. I'll walk with you. Every step on the way, I'll patiently follow. I won't be too quick. I won't be too slow. I will keep pace with you. Help me, Lord. I've seen the plan. I've seen the pictures you have for me. I know they are big. I don't want to run ahead of you. Remember, I told you in prayers, you draw strength for the journey. Take like 3 minutes and pray all over this place. Thank you. Take 3 minutes. Pray. Minutes. Spend this moment with Jesus alone. Just talk to him. Let that be your last request to heaven before you leave this meeting. I don't want to miss it. I'll follow you every step on the way till that big plan appears, till that big vision appears, till eventually I get what you promised. In Jesus' name. Now let hear this. An instruction to ministers. Whatever God told you to do, that is how you are going to make it. For anything make it means. Whatever. You see, if God tells you to start calling Bible study and be doing it every time in your meeting, do it. Don't think that if I hold worship concert, people will come. If God said it is prayer meeting, don't ask yourself, what if I do that, people don't come? Do it. That's what it means to make it. Because success with God is not success with man. Success with God is doing what God asked you to do. Compromise is not always when you sin. Did you hear what I'm saying? If God said you should begin to do Bible study, for instance, or you should begin to hold healing meetings, or you should begin to hold some kind of meetings, and you feel, if I do that, I want to start doing something else, you have compromised. Compromise is not always sin. When you leave what he told you to do, compromise. When he says you should stay in a city and you leave that city and run away, you've compromised. When he places you in a family and you run away, you've compromised. Keep peace with God. Ministry is in instructions and in obedience. So find what the instruction God has given you is. Hold on to it. Amen. You will pull through. So you will pull through. Whatever expectations that are left is being met this morning. Anyone that is still sick under the sound of my voice, healing power is working in your body right now. And we rebuke that foul spirit of sickness, you foul devil of infirmity, tormenting anyone here. You are gone from them in the name of Jesus. We declare you healed. We declare you healed. Anyone here still trusting God for any form of financial supply, that supply is given now. Doors that need to be opened are open now. I'm praying for you. May the Lord bring you into right relationships. May he bring the right people into your life. May he help you to discover those right people in the name of Jesus. And I'm pleading for the mercy of God upon anyone that have stepped out of the track, that have made mistakes that are about to harm his or her destiny. In the name of Jesus, we pray for mercy. May God's mercy work for you. May God's mercy speak for you. Some that have spoken negative words against their future and is affecting them, the devil has held onto those words to turn their life around. I declare we revoke the effect of those words now. In the name of Jesus. The wrong choices you've made, the message of God is speaking for you right now. You made mistakes, you lost friends that you should have kept. God's mercy is intervening right now. You will not miss your path in destiny. You will not miss your path in destiny. Every step on the way, the Lord is going to lead you. Things are getting better. Things are getting better. God, things are getting better. Things are getting better. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you. Glory to God. 2025 will be marked with signs and wonders. Because I heard that scripture in my spirit, your sons and daughters shall be for signs and wonders. So we declare the next day the year of signs and the year of wonders. Yes. 2025, the year of signs and the year of wonders. How many of you believe? Year of signs and wonders. 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 2025 is the year of signs and the year of wonders. Glory to God. Yeah. I speak as I hear. Signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. All over our churches, all over the streets, in the lives of people, there shall be signs, there shall be wonders. It shall be clear. Financial signs, miraculous signs, healing signs, mighty wonders. I heard the Lord say, I will show signs in the heavens. Blood, vapor, pillars of smoke. We shall see that in the coming year. Says the Spirit of the Lord. Are you ready? Glory to God. Signs and wonders. That's my story. 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 Hallelujah. You see how I told you, this is how God leads. You don't reason. Before I came here, I never planned that we are going to stay in next season of wonders. But once the word comes, you pick it. That's how you will lead every step on the journey. So if you, as you go home and begin to pray, you begin to tell you specific things for the coming year. Catch it and run with it. The month of December, we are going to pray a lot. For instance, first Saturday in December is prayer drive. 4 hours. We are going to get into the year before it comes. Hallelujah. Darkness shall cover the earth next year. Gross darkness shall cover the people. But the Lord will arise upon you. What I mean is, don't think that things are about to get better in Nigeria. I'm just saying things are about to get better with you. The Lord will rise upon you. Arise and shine. For your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Yes, darkness shall cover the earth. Gross darkness of people. But the Lord will rise upon you. I'm seeing that again in the spirit. That glory I told you upon your forehead. And when I said that, some of you are actually seeing that in your visions. There is a glow upon your forehead now. There is a glow upon your forehead. You will see it, you will know it. Others will begin to see it. It will stand you out. It will distinguish you. That mighty glow upon your forehead. Arise, shine. For your light has come. Glory to God. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts. Your mantra next year will be, I am for signs and wonders. That's your mantra next year. I am for signs and wonders. So expect that different special things will happen to you. When they say, why is that? They say, I am for signs and wonders. Next year is blessed. 2025 is blessed. It's covered. You know, by Thanksgiving and 31st night, if you see some of us rolling on the floor, don't be surprised. This year has been amazing. Jesus Christ. For us as a church, the kind of training. You know the funny thing? I think this is the year I stretched people more in church. This is the year I kept people more in church. And this is the year people have prospered the most in this church. Make it make sense. Make it make sense. This year I gathered you guys for 30 days. This year I kept you guys for 6 months in church, PGTI Advanced. This is the year that people have prospered the most. That doesn't make any sense. It shouldn't make natural sense. It just makes supernatural sense. Look at your life. But the thing is, a tip of the iceberg. It's getting better. I'm always hopeful. Every new month, every new year, gives us another opportunity to believe God again. And we're going to believe Him again. If what I'm saying now does not look like your life this year, don't worry. Two things I want to tell you. The year has not ended. There is still December. That's the first. Secondly, next year is for signs and wonders. Are you excited? Are you excited? Glory to God. I'm so blessed. I'm so excited. I think we should stay here small. Because this conference is about to end. That's the interesting thing. But like I said yesterday, it's not about keeping you here. It's about you going back. Let me close with this. I know when you get back, your center will not be as big as this. But the fire you've collected from here, take it back there. We don't gather because we are big. We don't gather because faith is fine. We gather because the Lord has asked us to gather. Keep the fire burning. Your pastor will come up with many mission trips after this particular meeting. Join your pastor. Evangelism moves. Your pastor, I told you we are going from place to place. We are going from school to school. Join. Big things are about to happen. Are you here? Pour in yourself. Take every instruction that's given this meeting very seriously. Take it, and you're going to win. In Jesus' name.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.